And that God, after everything is said and done, all glory and honor goes to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please feel free to push the slides for me. I think sometimes it doesn't respond as quick as I want it to. I want to talk about being prepared to answer. We're living in a time where the Christian faith is under attack, and there's a lot of questions around the idea of being a Christian. And as we live in that time, we also find that there is need for you and me as Christians to just stand and respond to those people who ask questions. So, for my text today, I want to go to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Very interesting that as a church, we have got scriptures or verses of scripture that we take and move to certain corners. So if you look at John 3:16, it has been taken and moved to the children's corner. It's a children's verse. We don't talk about John 3:16. And this is one verse that has also been taken and put in the corner of the thinkers, those that do apologetics. But it's very interesting that when we look at the book of 1 Peter, as Peter was addressing the various dynamics of church life to a church that was under persecution and facing false teachers, he says a lot of good things in there. And then he comes to chapter 3, and in chapter 3, verse 15 becomes like a core of everything that he's saying. And here's what he says. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to answer anyone who asks you to give the reason for your faith. So, we want to really focus on the idea of being prepared to answer the people that ask us. Because regardless of where you are, you always have people asking you questions. I always have people asking me questions. At the moment, people ask, so how... you know, the biggest question that we're facing is in Zimbabwe is when you look at all, there's a lot of chaos. There's a lot of chaos economically, socially, and everything. And people ask the question, where is God in this? To those of us who are Christians, they're saying, how can you keep on trusting God if he's doing this to you? Are we together? How can there be a good God when innocent children are suffering? So we want to focus on this phrase here, which says, always be prepared. That's the key phrase that we want to focus on. Always be prepared. And maybe come to that place where as God's people, we prepare ourselves to answer those people who ask us questions. Why are you a Christian? Can't you see that it's not too cool to be a Christian? Can't you see that Christianity is for the lazy, uneducated, those who are lazy to be? We are faced with those things here. Especially in a pluralistic world where there's other disciplines, spiritual disciplines, that are being put across. Where the world has become so liberal in thinking, and morals are being redefined. Hallelujah. Yeah. You people are quiet. Don't be quiet on me now. So when you look at other versions of this scripture here, the Bible says, be prepared to give an answer in the NIV. And in the English Standard Version, it says, being prepared to make a defense. Hallelujah. And in the New Kingdom Version, it says, be prepared to give a defense. So, in other words, we are talking about, you know, our faith being out there. Praise the Lord. What does this imply? It implies that our faith is open. We will never live in a space where people are not going to ask us. It also implies that our faith will be questioned. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It also implies that our faith is personal. And with these implications, we are saying we need to stand and defend the faith. Jude 3, he says, I wanted to write to you about other things, but I wrote to you to contend earnestly for the faith that was once delivered. Hallelujah. Which means you and I today, as God's people, as God's children, we face these challenges. And because we face these challenges, we got to be strong and stand. Now, why stand for what we believe? Why stand for what we believe? Let's talk about that. Number one, because of confusions. There are confusions in the world. People are confused on what Christianity is. People are confused on when a person becomes a Christian, on the how do you define a Christian? There is confusion. And because of the confusions, we must be able to stand and defend our faith. Number two, because of competitions. There are things that are competing for our allegiance. There are things that are competing for our attention. There are things that are competing for our hearts. 1 Corinthians 8, 5, Paul says, if there be other gods, if there are any gods, there are competitions out there. Why do you choose to be a Christian, preferring Christianity to this other spiritual discipline? Why choose to be a Christian compared to this other ideology, way of life? There are competitions. And number three, there are controversies. We live in a world of controversies. Years ago, people would speak and they would be listened to because they had credentials. In this time that we are living in, you don't need credentials to be listened to. All you need is access to social media. And the social media, there's so many things that even our own children, to the parents that are in the house, you are no longer an authority in your child's life. Because they've got other sources of information. Because of that, we got to stand and defend our faith. Why do people ask the reason for our faith? Number one, some ask to undermine. I'm two slides ahead, sorry about that. Some ask to undermine. Some ask to understand. Some ask to compare. Some ask to challenge. So either they want to undermine our faith, whether they want to understand our faith, whether they want to compare our faith, whether they want to challenge our faith, we will always be asked questions. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, church. That's the world that we live in. That's the world that you and I are living in. A world that is always wanting to say, why do you believe the things that you believe? This morning, by the grace of God, allow me to give you some things that I think will help all of us to stand for what we believe. How do we do it? How do we do it? How can we be prepared to answer those who ask us? How can we stand? Number one, be fully committed. We live in a time where half-hearted commitment to the things of God is not going to help us. Because the moment you one leg is in and another leg is out, you give room to the enemy. And the Bible says, do not give the devil a foothold. Friends, let's be sold out to Jesus. Without leaving anything. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, 15, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Fully committed, which means we give all our hearts to Jesus Christ. We continue to walk with Jesus Christ. Let us be fully committed. Let us follow Him in everything. It's not a time for half-hearted Christianity. The Bible says, talking of the tribe of Ephraim in the book of Hosea, Ephraim,
It's a half-hearted,
a half-baked cake.
And
in the book of Revelation says,
you are neither warm nor hot. You are neither cold or hot. Just lukewarm. But we come into a time, my friends,
we need to be hot and hot for Jesus Christ. Fully committed. I believe that when we are fully committed, we will be able to stand.
Having done all, to stay. Number two.
How can we be prepared? Let your life speak. Amen. There's one thing that is powerful.
It's when your life speaks. It's one thing for me to come and tell you, brothers and sisters, that I am a follower of Christ. But it's another thing for people to see me walking the talk.
In verse 16 of chapter 3, he says, keep a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against you, your behavior in Christ, may be ashamed of their slander.
We walk so much that those who want to slander us will be ashamed.
Right.
They tried to do it with Daniel.
And the Bible says they could not find fault in his dealings
or in his management of the affairs of the kingdom. Yeah. My prayer for the church of God
in this last days is that every Christian, every child of God, your life would speak. You see,
when you go to the book of Acts, they said they would see the man that had been healed. They realized that Peter and John were ordinary and uneducated, but there's nothing they could do. Irrefutable testimony, because there was back, clear, open. They couldn't argue with facts.
Let our lives speak. Can't argue with the results. When we speak in the community, when we begin to minister to our communities, when as a church we begin to reach out to the needy in our communities, when we begin to do good things in our own lives,
our lives speak. In our workplaces, when others are trying to get to do shortcuts, and as a child of God, you do the right thing. That way you are preparing yourself to answer people. Because the life is speaking.
Hallelujah. The loudest voice that needs to be heard is the voice of your life. 1 Peter 2:12. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's consider Daniel's life. The Bible says, when you look at Daniel's life, they could find no corruption in him. Amen. And he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. An authentic life gives every believer a right to be heard. So how can we be prepared to stand for our faith? Number one, we said, let us be committed. Number two, let your life speak. Number three, never be ashamed. It's a good place to say amen.
Amen.
Thank you very much. Never be ashamed. Romans 1:16, Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel.
That's why I'm preaching like I am today. And you guys are looking at me. When you guys the confidence. I am not ashamed of the gospel. I will not shrink back. The Bible says we are not those that shrink back.
And when you go to 2 Timothy 1:18, I also like Paul says, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, in the days that we live in, never be ashamed of the gospel. It's not embarrassing to be a Christian.
Hallelujah. It's nothing embarrassing.
As Paul was going was writing to the Romans, preparing to go there, he says, don't be ashamed. I'm not ashamed. What do I mean when I say don't be ashamed of the gospel? Number one, tell your story.
Hallelujah. We have too many Christians that have become quiet about their faith.
Right.
And I understand, friends, that we live in societies and in communities that feel offended
when you talk about Christianity, but they are not offended when you talk about other things. Speak about that. Don't be ashamed. Tell your story. When you tell your story, you are just saying, this is what Jesus has done in my life. And no one can argue with your story. You are just telling your story.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Just telling your story. Your story is a testimony of his power. Hallelujah. We are here because of him. I am what I am because of him. If I told you my story, if you
believe in Jesus Christ right now, if I tell you my story, you believe in Jesus Christ again. Hallelujah. Because where else can you find a God, like the Bible says in Deuteronomy 4, verse 7, who is so close to his people when they call upon.
The space that my father could not fill because he was away for a long time in my life. The space that my mother could not fill because she was away for a long time. Jesus filled that space.
The education that my father could not give me. The education that my mother did not give me. Jesus gave me that education.
The opportunities that the world could not give me, Jesus gave me those opportunities.
And because of that, I can tell my story. Somebody says, why are you a Christian? I am a Christian because of what he did to me.
Hallelujah. I'm a Christian because when I had no one to go to, I went to him. I'm a Christian because Deuteronomy 4:7, when I call upon him,
he's right there with me. That's why I'm a Christian.
Friends, let's not be ashamed of the gospel. What can we do to stand? Be fully committed. Let your life speak. Never be ashamed. Next point, remain in Christ. Stay in there. The world that we live in, all the questioning that we are talking about,
it happens so that by some means you may be drawn away from Christ. Amen. That's the idea of the devil.
I want to encourage the church of God today, remain in Christ. If you are not yet in Christ, step into Christ. Why must you step into Christ?
Look at this African man in front of you who was a nobody, a nothing. Didn't have food at some time. And look at what Jesus has done. You got to step into that Christ. Because if he can do it for me, he can do it for all of us.
Hallelujah. So he says, remain in me and I also remain in you. John 15:4. Remain in me. I also remain in you. So for us to be able to stand, let's remain in Christ. We live in a world of competitions. I've been saying back home in Zimbabwe that the greatest hindrance to people being in Christ is the church.
If you don't manage, because sometimes you step into church and you forget that beyond stepping into church, you want to step into Christ.
That's right.
Because when you step into church and you find that there is no perfect church, not yet. So if you step into church, you'll be disturbed by us church people. The way we talk, the way we walk, we bring the gospel into disrepute sometimes. But when you step into Christ, say, on Christ the solid rock I stand.
And the Bible says in Colossians 2:7, let your roots grow down in him. Grow down in him. Please, please.
If we're going to be prepared to defend our faith, our roots must grow down in him. The deeper the roots, the taller the tree. Hallelujah. We must stay in Christ, rooted and connected to Christ.
You know, the greatest challenge that we have in our world today is a give me syndrome. Yeah. Hallelujah. So, the prodigal son went to the father and said, Father, give me that which belongs to me. And the father gave him. The father gave the son that which belongs to the son. And the prodigal son went away from the father to enjoy that which he got from the father, but away from the father. Failing to realize that when you get resources from the father, and you want to live out of resources while you are disconnected from the source, resources will run out. This is why God says to Paul, my grace is sufficient. I don't need a favorable environment to operate in your life. I just need a continuous connection and my grace will be sufficient. So we live in a world that wants to live out of resources. We want all the resources, the houses and the cars and the phones and the husbands and the wives, hallelujah, and my father, see you some other time. But it's not meant to be like that. It's meant to be like we stay in the Father. Where was this? Somewhere here. I don't want to disturb Pastor John's things. We stay in the Father. Hallelujah. The next point. This one here is 50 points. So I'll just give you some of them, then I'll come back to finish later. Live by the word. Hallelujah. That's the next point. Live by the... Whatever happens in your life as a child of God, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved, a workman, rightly dividing the word of truth. Live by the word. And the scriptures that I have there is Psalm 19, verse 7. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. Friends, let's live by the word. Whatever happens in this life, may we be found to be a people that live by the word of God. Please don't live by social media. Don't live by the word of people out there. Live by the word of God. It's able to make you wise unto salvation. The word of God is truth. You know the truth will set you free. I will know the truth, and the truth will set me free. So we live by the word. What are we talking about? We are saying, therefore, set Christ aside in your heart and always be prepared to answer people. When you live by the word and people ask you reason for your hope, there is a word for every situation that you go through. If you live by the word of God, just reading scripture, speaking scripture, living scripture, talking scripture, use scripture to defend those that come against your faith. Next point, beware of Satan. I can't finish this without talking about it. Beware of Satan. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 2:11, in order that Satan may not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. We have a real devil with real schemes. I want to say to the church today, the schemes of the devil, contrary to what we may think, that is this black thing with big eyes, or this black man with the fog. No! The Bible says the skills, which means he also makes sure he comes in a nice way. That's why the word says he comes like an angel of light. There are ideologies that we are embracing in this part of the world that are not of God. And those ideologies are slowly diluting the gospel. And before we know it, the devil is going to take over our world. So in your own life, continue to be aware of the enemy. Continue to be able to read the telltales that here the enemy is coming. 2 Peter 5:8 says, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. He's looking for someone. Now, you know, those of us from Africa, those that have been to places where they are lying, you know, they lie. Like, I think you can say that, the lion. And sometimes the lion just crouch nicely in the grass, close to the water, waiting for animals to come. The church is your water hole. And we must be very careful that the devil is not coming very close to the water hole, waiting for that one animal that just separates itself just slightly from the rest. So, my brother, my sister, continue to be aware that there is a real devil out there. And that devil is after those that come to the house of God. Okay, you are going to drink at the water hole. You are the ones that I want. This one. The lion is not. It's not. It's rare for a lion to just go in other places and just wait. He knows they'll come. And you know, when they're drinking there, they are so relaxed. The water is so nice and cold. And the animals are enjoying all of a sudden. This is why Peter says, the Christians in the church, be alert, be aware.
All right.
That's right. Hallelujah. For as you are enjoying the water, may pounce on you. Let's continue to pray. That's my last point. Be alert and pray. Continue to be a person of prayer. Not just that prayer where you just pass by a prayer meeting. But that prayer that seeks to say, God, come and protect. For Peter says, be alert and be sober. So that you may pray. God wants us to stand. To stand and defend our faith. Because we live in a time where that which we believe, that which we hold on to, is under attack. The reason why we have to stand is that God has prepared good things for his people. And he doesn't want you and me to miss that which he has prepared. Just because we've become unaware. We have a world that is very strongly becoming anti-Christ, against Christians. So Peter, in his context, there were false teachers. There was persecution, as the emperors were were persecuting Christians and causing them to deny their faith. And Peter, who was one of the disciples of Jesus Christ, says, always be prepared to answer those who ask you for the reason of your faith. May I present to you as I close this morning, church, that the person who is writing this message knows what it is to move away from the Lord. For at one time, as the Lord was going through persecution towards the cross, 3 times this Peter was confronted. And 3 times he denied knowing Jesus Christ. And it took, in John chapter 21, Jesus Christ coming to him and saying, Peter, Peter, do you love me more than this? So when Peter writes to us to say, always be prepared to stand, he knows what he's talking about. He knows how easy it is to stray and to move away from that which we believe. Peter, we had believed all these years, 3 years, that Jesus is a miracle worker. We had seen Jesus multiplying food, catching fish, and all sorts of things. When he was confronted in the heat of the moment, he said, I don't know. My encouragement, brother and sister, is that it doesn't matter how much what it gets, always be prepared to give a defense of your faith. And stand and say, I love him. Regardless of what this world may say, I love Jesus. Regardless of what I may go through, I love Jesus. And this morning, Father, We want to thank you. This morning, God, we pledge our allegiance. Whatever may come our way, God, our prayer at Kitchener Gospel Tabernacle this morning is that we love you. Through it all, we know, God, you will never leave us nor forsake us. Regardless of what questions we are asked, we always say, it is well with my soul.
Yes.
Because you don't change, we will not change. Because you don't move, we will not move. God, we know you are not a man that you should lie. Neither the Son of Man that you change your mind. Father, we want to remain true to you. Father, we thank you. We thank you, God.
Yes, yes, yes.
We thank you, God. It is well with our souls this morning. Because you are a faithful God. You are a good God. You have so loved us with an everlasting love.
Yes.
All of us here, God, may we experience the depth, the height, and the width of your love.
Yes, Lord.
Eyes of our understanding being opened, that we may know how much you love us.
Yes, Lord. Yes, yes.
We thank you, Jehovah.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you, God. We thank you, God. It is well. It is well.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you so much for sharing. We are encouraged today, a number of us. We're encouraged to hear about the work that you're doing and what's been doing and going on there in the village as a whole. We're excited to hear that. But I'm challenged as well that we as Christians would stay alert and aware and ready to hear and ready to look out at the enemy. And it's a great reminder for us today that we are facing an enemy that wants to steal, kill, and destroy. So thank you, Pastor, for reminding of those things. The picture of the lion here crouching down is a wonderful picture that we've not all seen. I have, because I've been to Africa a couple times, but some have not, but we can picture it. And that's a wonderful reminder for us today to keep alert. And so I thank you so much, Pastor. As he's been sharing today, I'm reminded for those of us that are followers of Christ, we already are aware of those things, and they're a reminder, a wonderful reminder. But there may be someone here today that has not yet made a commitment of their life to follow Christ, and I want you to know today, we would love to talk to you about that. If you would like to make a commitment of your life to follow, if you want to know the joy and the peace and the love that God has, on the back of your connection card is a spot that says, contact me about becoming a follower of Christ. I'd love for you to mark that, because we would like to follow up with you in order to see you come to have that relationship with God that you're talking about today and that many of us have experienced. God bless you, Pastor, for sharing. We so appreciate your heart today. Let's thank our brother for being here today. At this time in the service, we're going to receive our offering and our connection cards. And here's what I would like to encourage you to do. If you're visiting with us today, we have no expectation of you to financially be giving. If you want to, you can, but we don't expect that. But what we would love to do is we'd love to receive your connection card from you. If you filled that out earlier, we'd love for you to drop it into the offering plate as it goes by. And if this is your home church and you're ready today to give, I invite you to take your envelope and get prepared. We're going to give. I apologize right now if you came today expecting to use our debit machine. The debit machine is out of order, so if you came and wanted to do that, bring extra next to you, another thing, I promise. And we want to encourage you to be giving. The ushers are going to come at this time. We're going to receive the offering, and as we